The number of illegal border crossings has just hit the highest level in 15 years. Amid the Biden administration's immigration, you could call it struggles. I don't even know if I would use that word. I think it's a deliberate decision to say flood the border and do everything you can to get to America now so we can change this country into a socialist country. You want to know how bad it is? Nearly a million illegal immigrants have been apprehended by the United States Customs and Border Protection since October 1st, 2020. More than 170,000 were captured last month. So the question is, how many got across the border if we caught 170,000 last month alone? Now, that is according to the new statistics from Customs and Border Protection numbers. The numbers are already the highest since 2006. And here's the kicker. They're the highest since 2006 with 4 months left to go in the agency's fiscal year. So these numbers are going to explode to the point where by the end of the next 4 months, it'll probably be the highest number of crossings we've seen probably in history in this country. Why are illegal immigrants coming? Because the administration, the Biden administration, has, well, said, come on, hurry up, and also kind of laughed. I'll give you an example about how the messaging from this administration, which is a message of laughter and joking and wink and nod and keep coming over. I'll give you a perfect example of this. Kamala Harris was laughed again when asked about visiting the border. Take a listen.
Front end and the back end, why not go to the border as well so that you do see the full complexity?
Listen, I've been to the border before. I will go again. But when I'm in Guatemala dealing with root causes, I think we should have a conversation about what's going on in Guatemala.
Let me laugh about it a little bit. You're asked again, I'm going to go to the border. Now, even the media is starting to turn on Kamala Harris. CNN reported it this morning that Harris dodging questions on the border visit during an interview was not a good look, as they put it. And it, by the way, don't for a second think that it wasn't a good look. It was terrible. You have a woman that is sitting there going, well, I hadn't been to Europe, so, you know, it's not that big of a deal, and I'm the vice president. That was her excuse. Why do I need to go to the border? I can read about it, I guess, or just hear about it from you guys. But even CNN is now reporting that the White House is not thrilled by Kamala Harris's border answers. Well, now you know why. A woman that was polling at 3% had to drop out of the presidential run, but hey, she filled a quota. Right. You get a hardcore progressive leftist anti-cop woman in there on the ticket. You fill two voids that you needed, a woman and a minority. Bam. Now you're the vice president of the United States of America. Take a listen to CNN even putting it this way.
Trip to Guatemala and Mexico raised questions about her not yet visiting the U.S.-Mexico border. She wasn't able to answer that question, such as this one from Lester Holt.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
We are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making.
Harris now says that she will go to the border. The controversy over this and a little bit of concern inside the White House over that answer continues. John Harwood is at the White House with more. She's been in the past, but not recently is the point here.
I love this from CNN. They're still trying to cover for her idiotic answer, right? They're still trying to give her an out here. They're still trying to say, well, she's been there before. Has she been there since the migrants illegally crossing the U.S.-Mexico border this fiscal year is already the most since 2006 with 4 months less to go? No. 900,000 migrants were stopped by Border Patrol from October 1 to May 31st. There were more than 170,000 apprehensions last month. That is the point that she's missing. This Customs and Border Patrol data shows that while most immigrants are coming to the United States of America across the Mexico border from Mexico and Central America, you have a significant increase in the number of migrants that are traveling to the border from more distant nations such as Ecuador, Venezuela, Cuba, Haiti, etc. That also undermines Kamala Harris's strategy to address the root causes of legal immigration by focusing on places like Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras, which brings me back to the new attack as well. Guatemala and El Salvador and Mexico, they're now all blaming the Biden team for the border crisis. They're throwing them under the bus saying, don't blame us for this. You guys did this. You are the ones that advocated for a migrant surge. You're the one to blame. The Biden administration is to blame. You guys promised better treatment. You guys said you're rolling back Trump's policies. You guys are the ones that said we're going to stop building the border wall. You're the ones that said come to America by January 1 and we'll give you citizenship. Guatemalan president repeated his position during an interview on CBS News where he said the Biden administration's more welcoming tone is responsible for attracting, his words, the historic migrant surge, overwhelming resources and personnel at the U.S. southern border. He even gets it. The Biden administration promised that it will, quote, reunite migrant families and children with their relatives in America. It's just incentivizing my citizens and my country, my compatriots, to migrate to the United States of America. The message for migrants changed under Biden. We're going to reunite families. We're going to reunite children, he added. The very next day, after the Biden administration's welcoming message, he said, quote, the coyotes were here organizing groups of children to take them to United States of America. They saw the opportunity to make money. They saw the opportunity to run these kids, and that's what they did. You want to blame somebody, the president says, of Guatemala? Well, you need to blame President Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, for their lenient border security policies for the surge, period. Now, the Guatemalan government, by the way, is not the only government saying this. Mexico's president now is pointing the finger saying, hey, America, my counterpart over there, Joe Biden, he's the guy to blame. Now, before I get to the comment from the president of Mexico, let's go back to CNN and their coverage. The CNN team is doing everything they can to cover for Kamala Harris right now. But they're also having to report now the White House is not thrilled by Kamala Harris's border answers because it just shows how pathetic they are as an administration, right? Her not going to the border now has become such an issue because of how dumb her answers are that she's probably going to have to go to the border now. They're not happy about it. And CNN's like, well, crap, we got to report this because this ain't going away anytime soon. But we will try to help her out by saying, now, she's been to the border before. She has not been to the border since we have millions of people trying to get across the border. She hasn't been to the border since the number of illegal border crossings is the highest in 15 years with 4 months left to go. Probably be the highest in history of this country ever. So how does CNN help them out? Well, they're like, well, she's seen Mexico. This is like the joke from Saturday Night Live. Remember when they roasted Sarah Palin on foreign policy and they made up a quote that people actually thought was real, that she said, I can see Russia from my house. Remember that Saturday Night Live skit that then people actually thought was a real quote? What's amazing now about Kamala Harris is it's not a Saturday Night Live quote. It's real. She's like, well, I've seen Mexico on a map, right? I've seen Mexico in my life. You're the vice president of the United States of America. You have a crisis at the border. You have an unprecedented number of people coming across the border. And your response is, I've seen Mexico before, had me a Mai Tai on the beach. And then she does the laugh. Take a listen.
What does the White House think of all of this?
Poppy, it's no surprise that the White House was not thrilled by that answer, a little bit confused as to why she handled it that way. The obvious discomfort with Lester's question, the nervous laughter there, it's hard to understand because this is a question that the administration's been dealing with for months as she's been tasked with the diplomatic assignment with Guatemala and Mexico and other countries in the Northern Triangle rather than dealing with the border. They've had a ready answer for it. She eventually gave that answer to our colleague Jeremy Diamond. Take a listen.
The reality of it is that we need to prioritize what's happening at the border, and we have to prioritize why people are going to the border. And so let's talk about what's going on in the places that are causing the issue at the border. I think it's short-sighted for any of us who are in the business of problem solving to suggest we're only going to respond to the reaction as opposed to addressing the cause.
You know what's amazing about what she said in Mexico City and just how tone deaf she actually is? This moron who somehow became the vice president of the United States of America, who dropped out of her own primary when she was polling at 2% and got a job because they wanted to fill a quota of a socialist, a minority, and a woman, is actually out there trying to tell other countries how to run their countries instead of actually running the United States of America, which is exactly why Guatemala, El Salvador, and Mexico pointed the finger right back at America, said, don't come to our countries telling us what we need to do in our country. You go run your own damn country. Secure your own border. So let's go back to the president of Mexico. He is now saying, again, Joe Biden's overwhelmingly welcoming tone that began to develop during the U.S. presidential campaign near the end of the Trump administration is exactly when the migrant surge began. He created, quote unquote, expectations among migrants from Mexico and Central America that crossing the border is almost guaranteed under the new American commander in chief. Biden immediately came out, and this is coming from Mexico's government saying this now. He rescinded the Trump-era border security policies and measures to enforce immigration laws in the interior of the country. He said that is what is at fault for the humanitarian crisis unfolding at the U.S.-Mexico border. You didn't just give people, it wasn't false hope of coming into America. You gave them actual hope, and you backed it up by saying, come on over, flood the border, we'll keep you here, we'll release your families, we won't send you home, we'll hold you for 100 days, but not in captivity. Now, of course, the White House is denying these allegations, right? They're insisting that the border is closed. It's not closed. It was closed under Donald Trump. It's wide open under Biden. And the proof of it is the numbers. If the border was actually closed, which is something now that the administration is saying, Kamala Harris said it in Guatemala, Joe Biden said it on the tarmac, the number of illegal border crossings is the highest in 15 years with 4 months left to go in the fiscal year. If the border was closed, these numbers wouldn't be happening. You wouldn't have 170,000 people captured in the last month alone. We have no idea how many got across the border that we didn't capture. You wouldn't have the highest number of border crossings since 06 with 4 months left to go if, in fact, you had a closed border. You got a border that's wide open. And they're not trying to fix this problem. That's why Harris is in Guatemala this week offering the government there a substantial aid package in return for greater immigration interdiction along the country's border with Mexico. We're bribing them with cash while still not fixing the problem. Instead of spending that damn money on securing our border, closing our border, finishing the wall, we're going to give money to countries that have no control over their own people. And if they come across the border into Mexico, Guatemala, by the way, has not responded favorably so far, even though we're offering to give them cash because they realize what it's doing to their economy. That's why Guatemala's president is blaming Biden administration for the surge in migrant activity. That's why he went on TV on the record to criticize Joe Biden because they're losing some of their best people to this open border policy in America, which they say is only hurting their country even more. Quote, the majority of migrants still come from the Northern Triangle. It appears that migrants from Ecuador now make up a significant number of those captured, enough that the Customs and Border Protection interdiction strategy could shift focus. In just five sectors, more than 32,000 Ecuadorians have been encountered at the U.S.-Mexico border this year. 13,000 Brazilians have been stopped in Arizona sector alone. In Yuma, on top of 7,000 in two other sectors, according to the data that now has been leaked. There were fewer than 40,000 migrants not from Mexico, that included Guatemala, Honduras, or El Salvador, that were encountered by border officials in the fiscal year 2018, to put it in perspective. So in a month, we're getting more from these countries than we were getting in a year in 2018 when Donald Trump was the president. So now what is the Biden administration doing? Giving money and ramping up pressure on Mexico and others for them to, quote, tighten their own borders in hopes that they will intercept their own people and turn back migrants from the Northern Triangle, specifically in Mexico. And what the Mexican president pretty much said is, no, screw you guys. This is your problem in your country. Don't come down here and tell us how to run our country. You guys created this problem. You did it on purpose. This is on you. This is what you did. This is your fault. Now, we got three issues here that are major today. One, this. Two, you got breaking news also, and we got to get to this, about Hunter Biden using the N-word all over the place. Can you imagine if Donald Trump's kids were using the N-word? The guy's a huge racist, you can tell from his own words, disparaging minorities in this big woke world. Not a single channel on TV is covering this. It's disgusting. And there's another story that's just disappeared all of a sudden. And that's the terrorists that are getting funding from America. The Palestinians are getting millions of dollars from America from Joe Biden's administration so they can then give that money to terrorists who are attacking Israel. There are three big issues that Congress is going to have to deal with, and we've talked about some of them already. One, you're going to have to deal with the border crisis. Two, there's a story that's completely disappeared from the headlines that deals with Israel and what's going on over there in Israel, and also this breaking news story about Hunter Biden, and why is the media refusing to ask questions or demand a statement from the President of the United States of America about his son using the N-word and racial slurs in his own text messages to his white lawyer mocking African Americans. Full-blown racism. For a country that's supposed to be all woke, you would think that somebody would ask a question of the President of the United States of America and his son using the N-word. Joining me now to talk about this is United States Senator Bill Hagerty. Senator Hagerty, you just got back from Israel. You saw the carnage. You saw the indiscriminate bombing from these terrorists that affected and killed people in Israel. We also know about 20% of the rockets actually kill their own people because they try to overload the Iron Dome. That's how little these terrorists value life. They're willing to kill their own people to try to kill Israelis. You got back from there. What all did you see?
Well, I saw exactly what you're describing, and it's the rank disregard for human life, it's cowardice at its utmost, indiscriminate launching of missiles at civilian targets, Ben. They're hitting people's homes. Luckily, Iron Dome intercepted about 90% of the rockets that came into Israel. And you're right, no media, you're the first reporter that's actually called this out. Hamas launched all of these rockets, 4,000 plus, 20 to 30%, I was told on the ground, never got out of Gaza, meaning they hit Palestinian targets, they hit Palestinian people. You're right, they have no disregard for life, whether it's for Palestinian life and certainly not Israeli life. I toured the home of a woman whose house had been absolutely destroyed. Her caretaker, she's an elderly lady, her caretaker covered the elderly lady with her body and died. The elderly lady was in the hospital when I was there, but she didn't have time to get to a shelter. And these rockets are just being sent over 11 days of it, a complete shower of rockets coming in. Thank God we had the Iron Dome in place. I wanted to be there to see that technology operate on the ground. And it saved, I want to be clear about this, Ben, it saved not only Israeli lives, but it saved Palestinian lives. Because if Israel didn't have this precise mechanism to intercept these rockets, they would have had to use much cruder ground operations to go in and stop this. Believe me, Israel's not going to allow this to continue to happen. And many more Palestinian lives have been lost under that circumstance.
You got two international issues now that are clearly bubbling. You've got this one in Israel, and you've now have three different countries coming out saying, one, and you look at the protests that happened with Kamala Harris in Guatemala, telling her basically, you go take care of your own country. Don't tell us how to run our country here. You've got leaders in these countries, Guatemala, El Salvador, Mexico, all now saying directly that Biden's border policy, telling people come on over, basically, wink, wink, nod, nod, is exactly why you're having a massive humanitarian crisis and a migrant surge. They all blame the Biden administration's promise of, quote, better treatment and policies at the border for the onslaught. They're saying this now to CBS News. They're saying it now in interviews on CNN. They're not holding back as Kamala Harris has her first foreign trip. Were you shocked at how tone deaf Kamala Harris was to say, well, I haven't been to Europe, so it's not a big deal that I haven't been to the border when I'm in charge of the border crisis, and just how terrible the messaging was from this government?
Tone deaf is an understatement, Ben. Kamala Harris is a month later than I was there. Believe me, if I was able to get down there a month ago, she could have gotten there even sooner. But it just hasn't been a priority for them. And as you say, it was very clear to me, the president of Guatemala was very clear to me directly, we spent an hour and a half together talking about this, that we are creating a magnet north of the border that's attracting people. He said, look, our citizens, our most vulnerable citizens, are handing their life savings over to these so-called coyotes. You know, they're associated with the cartels. They're risking their lives to take a very dangerous journey. More than half of them are subjected to crime. They're victims of crime. They're involved in drug trafficking or some other type of contraband movement, or they become themselves involved in human trafficking. Ben, I don't even want to go into the details of what that involves, but it's terrible. These leaders are very upset, and what's happening is it's hollowing out communities in their own countries. So they were very clear with me. When you say things like, we won't deport anybody for 100 days, 100-day moratorium on deportation is just like running a blue light special at Kmart. You know, hurry for the border is what that translates into. The coyotes market these messages like a $15 an hour minimum wage, $1,400 checks for illegal immigrants, and I'll treat you better if I win the race. That's exactly
well, and not only that, Senator, you look at the messaging of, well, if you get here by January the 1st, right, when they started with that messaging, then there's a good chance you're going to get amnesty. Wink, nod, nod. How would we know when you get here? In other words, hurry up and get here because you don't have documentation at the border when you come across illegally. You don't, you know, you're sneaking into this country, and that's where you also saw another onslaught of people rushing to the border as fast as they could, saying, "Oh, they're telling us, hurry up, and we'll give you amnesty."
You're exactly right, Ben. And what that has also done, there's a serious byproduct of all of this, movement toward amnesty, this bait that they've created. It's caused the border to collapse. The Customs and Border Patrol are completely overwhelmed. And what does that do? That allows the cartels to move even more drugs across that border. And if you look at an interior state like ours, like Tennessee, I've talked with sheriffs across the state, law enforcement officers across the state of Tennessee. And what we've seen is overdoses and deaths due to fentanyl dramatically increased since January. And I want to be clear about this. And the Mexican leadership were very clear with me. I met with the foreign minister, the economic minister there. China is operating in Mexico. They're shipping fentanyl and precursors to fentanyl into Mexico. They're manufacturing there. Chinese lab technicians are there working with the cartels. They have dramatically increased their revenues. They're getting stronger by the day. These illegal organizations called cartels that are running the drug traffic across the border, they're running the human traffic across the border, they're getting richer by the day, and lawlessness is the norm now.
I want to ask you one other question about some news, and I do want to get your reaction because I think it's really important. You know, we see the media completely looking the other way right now at a shocking story of the president's son being reported now in his own text messages using racial slurs, the N-word multiple times, and also mocking people of color, talking about, quote, Hennessy, referring to the alcohol prices. We've seen nothing from the media about this so far. I don't know how the president of the United States of America doesn't have to put out a statement about his own son's racism and these text messages that have been released now, and they're now going, you know, widespread on social media. But the media does not seem to, you know, care to even ask the question about the reality that you have a president of the United States of America's son who's dropping the N-word in these messages. I want to get your reaction to that.
Well, I'll take you back to election night of 2020 when I talked with President Trump. He congratulated me on my own election. You know, Ben, we are in Tennessee. We run elections the way they should be run. He called me because we knew the outcome of that very early to congratulate me. And at that point, it looked like he was going to win his election. And I was, you know, congratulatory to him. And he said, well, if I do win, it's not because I beat Joe Biden. He said Joe Biden wasn't the opposition. It was media and big tech. And by the way, Ben, he said big tech is a lot tougher. And you and I have talked about this before. I've actually put in place legislation right now to do away with Section 230 and to keep big tech from censoring us the way they have. It's the media not covering things, just as you mentioned, but big tech is going even further. They're reaching into stories like this. You know the Hunter Biden story. They silenced the New York Post story on Hunter Biden's laptop, timely as it was, just before the election.
Yeah, days before the election.
Yeah, just days before the election, they shut down the New York Post, the fourth biggest publication in America. They shut it down because it was inconvenient to them. My legislation will take away their ability to do that. My legislation will allow them to moderate the content, but only in very explicit terms. You know, extreme violence, obscenity, nudity, that type of thing. They've used a clause in Section 230 called otherwise objectionable that they're driving a truck through this CLOSP, and they're using that as an excuse to come up with anything that they want to censor anything they don't want us to see or hear, and only allow us to see what they want us to think. We've got to bring this to an end, and this is just yet another example that you just described with Hunter Biden that underscores the fact that we've got to clean up big tech and the media.
Lastly, I spoke recently with your counterpart, Senator Marsha Blackburn, on this issue of migrants coming into Tennessee in the middle of the night and then busing them around the country to Miami, back to Texas, other places. Where are we with this administration doing that in the middle of the night, using these random airfields, hoping that the media and people wouldn't see what they're doing as they're having to get rid of immigrants at the border so it's not a humanitarian crisis that is being covered, and just shipping them or flying them anywhere they can in the middle of the night? Have we gotten anywhere to stop this?
We're pushing on it hard. What you're talking about is something we uncovered here in Tennessee first. It happened in Chattanooga. The most recent report is in Knoxville. We tracked, local news media in Chattanooga, tracked four private planes coming in after midnight into a private airport in Chattanooga where they unloaded all of these illegal immigrants that have been brought into that place, and then they're clearing them evidently there. There has been zero transparency coming from this administration. I found out that they're moving on commercial flights as well. One of my friends texted me. He boarded a flight in Dallas, Texas. There were 8 to 10 migrant children there, all speaking Spanish. There was a caretaker with him. So he spoke with the caretaker, and the caretaker described what he's doing. He said he was escorting these children to Chattanooga where they would be placed in shelters. Didn't tell him where, but they're going to be placed in shelters in Chattanooga. We don't have any detail on where these people are going. The problem that we've got, the most immediate problem, is not knowing who's coming into our country. If you think about it from a local standpoint, the people in Chattanooga have no idea. Will their schools be overwhelmed with these youth? Will the hospitals be overwhelmed? Do they have capacity to deal with them? Law enforcement doesn't know how many people are coming in. Will they be overwhelmed? Will our local municipal resources be overwhelmed by what the Biden administration is doing? And I think it's very clear what they're doing, Ben. They're trying to take that photo op away from the border. They're trying to disperse it across America. And they've basically turned our border into a turnstile right now. We've got to stop it.
Senator, I appreciate you, as always, coming on. Nice to talk with you. It's going to be very interesting to see what this administration does moving forward with Israel. And I'm certainly glad that you got to go over there and see firsthand the carnage and exactly what these terrorists are doing. I think it's shocking that we're giving money to the Palestinian Authority. We know that money is going directly to these terrorists, and I hope that we at some point are able to stop that. And I appreciate your leadership on it. I hope everyone you listening to this will please share this podcast and help us get all of this information out each and every day. So if you're listening to this right now, there's that little forward share button. You can share it in email, text message, on social media. Please tell your family and friends about this podcast. We'll keep bringing you all this information each and every day. I'll see you back here tomorrow.